Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome.
Right. Well, I instantly regret letting you start it. You started by saying, hey, that's no good.
I did everything I could to get out of it. I said, who wants to do this? Both of you went, you do it.
No,
and then I do it. And within 2 seconds, I'm being lambasted for my choice of words.
Because we said, you do it, not you do it poorly.
Yes, yeah.
You knew what you were getting. You can't have one without the other.
If this is someone's first time listening to this podcast, they're going to think, oh, no.
Very unprofessional, these guys.
And the joke's on them, because this is better than usual.
Yeah.
There's a real passion in the room.
We're more energetic, we're excited.
We're recording this separately to the regular. There's a regular episode. This isn't like a very special episode of Filthy Casuals. Mm. But this little part is.
Yes.
Because there was a Red Dead. We recorded the episode already, but a Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer got announced and released between when we recorded and now.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that for a while up the top here.
That's right. And eagle-eyed listeners will notice the regular episode we did, slightly under time. So this was a blessing in disguise.
Not much to talk about in that one. So, we threw the... Ben, you threw the filth signal into the air.
I did.
Which somehow led you to my house instead of me going towards the signal.
Yeah.
You threw the signal up to let me know that you were going to come round to my house half an hour earlier than you said you were going to. So you caught me fresh out of the shower.
That's right.
Let's just talk about that for 20 minutes.
Well, Knox was actually earliest. He was here an hour and a half early.
Well, because I've been going for lots of walks lately. And I was like, I'm going to walk. And it took me way less time than I thought. And I'm a healthy boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have very poor time judgment.
Yeah.
Which is something I need to work on outside of my diet and exercise.
So you guys started rapping on my front door and you were treated to a real piece of eye candy on the other side, weren't
you? Yes. Thank you, Pat, for opening the door. No. Tommy opened the door wearing naught but a towel.
Yes. And in my skimpies.
And we were later theorizing he really wanted to do that. He was like, no, let me answer the door. I'm only in a towel. The boys have to see this.
I've been in this towel for 45 minutes.
Yes. I haven't showered in days.
Yes.
But yes, the Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer, this was like a pretty sudden announcement that they were doing this. I don't think anyone thought that they would show any more of it until E3.
Yeah, well, Rockstar have generally not done much stuff at E3, but no one, I think, thought this was coming, no.
Yeah.
But like the same as the other two or the other several announcements with Red Dead, it's on Twitter 3 days before it happens.
Totally.
And then Rockstar can run on its own schedule.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we've had two trailers for the game. One, a very, very vague thing that sort of just showed us environments.
Yeah, it basically.
Just Western looking.
Yeah, maybe a train chugging along.
Yeah. But yeah, and then the last one had characters and actually showed a bit of what was happening.
Totally.
This one a very kind of reminiscent of GTA 5's publicity cycle, like cinematic kind of trailer that could be for a film.
Yes.
I think it's a good trailer.
I like it the second time. I liked it a lot more than I did the first time, I have to say. I don't know why. Like, the first time I was properly, like, headphones on, you know, by myself, really tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't that into it, I think.
Seems like the perfect conditions for you to adequately enjoy something.
That's what I thought.
It's weird that you enjoyed it more in the company of others.
You guys specifically. But no, I actually liked it a lot more that second time.
Right.
I think the first time I was focused a lot on the details of the visuals, which I feel are a bit dated, but the actual, like, the cinematic stuff, I think hit me a bit better this second time around.
Yeah, there's two sort of bits in it where it looks close to gameplay. The people fighting, the people punching on, and the guy being tackled onto the ground.
Storming into one of the bars.
It does.
The sort of zoom into the town seems to be the town actually in motion as you look when you're riding. And there's a few bits in like some of the horse riding, the guy with the lasso running after the cattle or whatever. He's not running after them. He's on a horse.
The horse is running.
Yeah.
He's running by proxy.
Yes.
The horse is galloping. Horses
or cantering.
I don't think horses run. They always say gallop, canter, or walk, I suppose.
Okay. All right. Any horse aficionados out there?
We'll all be horse aficionados by the time this comes. I was into everything.
Okay.
I didn't think the visuals looked dated really at all.
Right. Well, I was going to say, like, it goes from very cinematic to those bits where people are fighting, looks close to gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, in that way that the movement is a little less, like, pre-rendered and looks a bit more like it's kind of, you know, I don't know, not clunky, but I wouldn't say dated, but more obviously, like, this looks like someone playing a game as right. opposed to the rest, which looks like a cinematic thing that... you know, someone's put together without it having to be in an engine kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's that it kind of looks like the first game, like even the quote-unquote cutscene bits. I think it's the design. It's that Rockstar halfway between realistic and halfway between cartoony sort of thing. Mm. I think it's that stuff, the character models maybe. Because like, the environments look amazing.
Yeah. I think the animation is maybe the weakest point just from what this trailer shows,
right?
Out of all, so that maybe looks a little unnatural,
mm-hmm.
but the all of the environments look fucking awesome.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So this to me, like you know, having not played the first one, it doesn't really mean much to me aside from just like, oh, that there's some cool stuff happening here.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, you know, beats of what I'm expecting out of Red Dead Redemption 2 and whether or not it's delivering on that, it's a little bit lust on me. Like, I kind of could give or take it. Like, it looks cool, but, you know, it's not that thing of like, oh, I loved this first one and I've been hanging for this for years.
Yeah.
How does it resonate with you guys in terms of, you know, fulfilling, you know, what you want out of a sequel to a game that you both really like?
Well, with
Dare I say love.
The story beats are probably the least interesting that they could be for me.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a prequel, that it's kind of like those little titles that come up during the trailer of going like, in 1899, the West was starting to die. The frontier was being replaced. Like,
that's a really bad font, by the way.
It's hard,
really
to
hard to read.
It is hard to read.
The word buy looks like it says only.
Yeah.
But that, they did that same theme in the first one of like the old West is dying.
And my first kind of, you know, very surface level take on the whole thing was like, oh, it's a sequel. It must be a sequel because of exactly that. The last time, the last game was, well, the West is ending. So, you know, the old wild men have to face up to civilization. Like that's exactly what the first game's theme was.
But the first game was set like 12 years later or something.
Yeah.
Like
So you're going to be playing this prequel thinking, these guys think the West is ending. They got no idea.
Yeah.
They got another 12 years of this shit.
Yeah.
The broad strokes of this story you already know from the first game too, because the characters who are in this trailer, like Dutch and John Marston, who's the player character in the first one, they show up and you know how that story goes because the whole first game is about dealing with the fallout of what will, I assume, be the events of this game, of this gang sort of fracturing and breaking up.
Yeah, and it's not left that vague. Like, and this, I guess this is kind of spoilery, kind of not, but like you can't, there doesn't seem to be that many intricacies or subtleties to like a gang breaking up. Like the gang breaks up and then you play one of the characters in Red Dead 1.
Yeah, but like I felt that way potentially when I started watching Better Call Saul, which is the prequel to Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting about it, and you've both watched it.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's really interesting about it is like when they get into introducing like more of the kind of gang side, like the drug trade side of things. So there's people in that side of it that are in Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, well, they're going to make it out of this series alive.
Sure.
But then there's people around them who aren't in Breaking Bad. So it's just kind of a countdown to like, this guy's going to die.
Right.
So it's more just like, how does this motherfucker make it out alive whilst these guys not? Like that to me, in any kind of prequel thing, that's what's interesting about it is like, you know that these guys aren't in it, but it's like exactly how does that pan out? Like, so that kind of, and I think that, I think I find it more interesting having that in my head with Better Call Saul than I would if I didn't, if I was just watching it clean, having not seen Breaking Bad. Like, it just adds this kind of foreboding layer to it. So maybe it's a bit of that. Like, maybe they're playing on that a bit more.
Well, there's a lot of characters here similar to that where they weren't in the second or the original one and they weren't mentioned. So, like, the main guy you seem to be playing as and the woman who, like, stabs someone in this, they focus on those two quite a lot. And Dutch, who is the leader of this gang.
Yeah.
You know him well.
Huh?
Nothing.
Was that a Gary Glitter reference?
No.
I hope not. But those two, maybe there'll be another multiple character thing.
Yeah.
Which that would be the first female protagonist in a Rockstar game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Other than maybe like Chinatown Wars or something.
I haven't read this firsthand, but I saw someone mention that Rockstar have said there's one playable character and it's that Arthur Morgan guy.
Oh, right. Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
maybe they're maybe, you know, they're foxing and it is going to be multiple playable characters, which I would love. That would be the thing that got me more excited, I think, if I found that out.
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah, if they said that in an interview and it turns out to not be the case, if there's one thing gamers love, it's being lied to in the lead up to a big game coming out.
Yeah. They do in retrospect sometimes, though. Metal Gear Solid 2, they did that same bait and switch and people hated it at the time. Mm. But now people are like, oh, that was clever.
Yeah.
And I've had 5 years to calm down because I have a...
I suspect that if gamers would hate anything for sure, it's being lied to about... having a female playable character that they have to play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it that mechanic worked so well in GTA 5 that it would kind of be weird. I don't know, like it seems like it would be weird for them to almost like a step backwards because like they were just able to do like the missions where you were switching between all three of them. Like there was just so much fun stuff in that. And like that mechanic in this kind of setting could be awesome. It would be so fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it'd add a lot to the original game because what I'm kind of feeling at this point is this looks really similar to the first game without adding a lot.
Well, which it's hard to say that obviously because we haven't seen actual gameplay of it really.
Yes.
But all the beats that they're hitting in this trailer, it could be a trailer for the first game.
Completely agreed. Yeah.
Well, and this is also weird for them in the sense that they, with the Grand Theft Auto games, they can't, each one kind of resets. Like there's never the same characters in them. So, I mean, this is already weird for them to be it being set in the same place in the same world with the same people. So, yeah, you've got to wonder like what is there in it to make it not just because it's not really something that Rockstar tend to do to just have it be. Oh, well, people loved that, so here's just it again.
I mean, and the map is the same map with extra areas?
I don't think it is.
Oh, really?
There's a map that they that was, like, leaked in 2016.
Yeah.
And so some places that are listed on this map show up, like, there are words on the buildings and whatever in the trailer that have the same names.
Mm.
So people are pretty sure that this map is the correct map for this game, and it's different.
Okay.
It's set in the south. There's no Mexico. It's like a different area.
Okay, because I think the map, the leaked map that I'd seen had Blackwater and it kind of extended to the north.
Yeah, I think I remember the one that you're talking about as well.
Right.
And it is a different one to that. And
okay.
It's hard to get an idea of the scale of it, but it looks to be bigger than the original one.
Sure,
Which isn't like the first one was quite big.
So. Yes. Yeah,
but it looks to be more varied at least.
There's
a sort of a swampy area and a snowy area, and there's all the different. So
I can't exactly place my finger on why I'm not like frothing at the mouth over this game, but I just kind of am not. I don't know why. Yeah. I love the first one.
Well, I mean, the other side of the coin is all the stuff that you're saying about like, oh, maybe it's just going to be a bit samey. For me personally, I couldn't care less.
I know.
I haven't played the first one.
Yeah.
So maybe. I mean, yeah, maybe the other side of it is maybe that's what they're thinking is that like it's been enough time that they are going to be, there's going to be a lot of people coming to this for the first time.
Mm. Well, and you seem quite tepid on it as well from just what we've been.
No, I'm looking forward to it, but it's just, you know, it's still a fair way away. Like there's a bunch of stuff between now and then. And okay, so the other thing is I kind of think it's a pretty weird time to put out another trailer that is like no gameplay.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of. If I'd seen gameplay at this point, I'd probably be psyched, but I'm kind of a bit worn out on the... We were talking about it last week with the
Tomb Raider.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I'm a bit worn out on just cutscene trailers, like, because they're not apart from just general vibe and stuff, they don't really give... And, you know, if you can't make a cutscene trailer look good, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, Some of what was in this, I'm pretty sure, wasn't cutscenes and was more like... odd angles of in-game footage.
Sure.
I assumed the whole thing was using the game engine.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But, like footage of cutscenes. Like, yes, all of that will be literally what you see in the game.
Yeah.
Is the impression that I get, but there's no reason to definitively think that. But also, I think it's weird that this as well, everything they've released so far, like this is like a cinematic trailer with like really good music in it, I thought.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We kind of... this thing of like, oh, we're going to have a heavy story here with people betraying each other and whatever.
Yep.
But none of them have had the sense of fun that was the great thing about the first one.
Well, I think I agree. I also think that none of them have had a real like narrative. Like, there's no narrative hook. We're not going like, oh fuck, we get
this
to figure out what this is going to be, or it's all tonal and mood setting and stuff.
Like this one clearly sets up that like some shit's going to go wrong. They're like, you got to love fire, and like,
yeah, and it's John very Marston's... Revenant-y or something. Yeah, it's exactly. More, you know, like humanity in the West is, oh boy,
Marston's on his knees with like, people are going to backstab each other. Everyone's giving each other meaningful looks and shit.
Yes,
but without even just ignoring that you literally know where this story is going to go, you can see right now it feels like you can see where this story is going to go.
Right.
I realized I'm so conditioned with like how trailers are structured that I like it was genuinely shocking to me that right near the end that an Imagine Dragons song didn't start playing, because it's like all the build-up and everything. I was like, then it had cut, and then that song would come in.
Lightning and the thunder,
Now, definitively, I would have been out at that point. Yes. I'd be saying, fuck this game, I'm not going in.
The other interesting thing that, without them showing any gameplay, they haven't even fucking mentioned any of the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
And Rockstar, or like people working with Rockstar or Take-Two or something, have been very vocal about like, we've got a new direction for multiplayer to be going in. And like GTA 5, they put so much microtransaction-y shit in.
Mm-hmm.
So for the single player to be the focus of this is cool. Well,
yes.
I assume the single player.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows though? This could all be a big MMO, but it wouldn't be.
Yeah. That's true. I'm happy with that.
But I'm very interested to know what that is and why with all this sort of trickle information, they haven't let any of that slip.
Because it's coming out at October 26th.
Yeah,
so that was new information in this trailer, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of the reason. Well,
we already knew that.
Did we?
The exact date?
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that was the case.
I think it's a cool trailer, but yeah, I don't really care. I want to see the actual game. Like, for me at this point, like, to actually get excited about it. And I, you know, I've seen that comment a lot today, and I don't think that's unfair. Like, to kind of hype up the first trailer, and the first trailer was kind of nothing. Like, it really showed us nothing other than like, cool, you've made environments look really good on this incredibly powerful hardware.
Yes.
Good for you.
Which it was around the same time as Far Cry 5, and that they were showing these wooded mountains at the same time that kind of looked better.
Yeah.
And the thing for me with this trailer is that they haven't shown any we did know it was a 26 already.
Right.
Shown any anything that is different to the first game, really.
Yeah.
Mm. They've shown, like, there'll be a train, and there'll be, like, you can get into a fight, and there's a town, and a gun shoot off.
Trying to be coy about the details of your Western-themed game when there's really only about five things that can be. Oh, there's a saloon in this one.
I didn't know
that already.
The one thing that I was like, oh, that's different and a bit interesting is the woman blowing fire on the stage.
Sure.
Looks like a big stage in a big theater, which suggests a city to me, which, and there was a city in the first one, but maybe more interaction.
Did your instincts fire up and you found yourself thinking, I wonder who books this? If it is an online component, you can get up and like have your little headset on and do some of your stand-up up there on the stage.
It was set in America, so I'm never going to be able to make it over there. But it's not enough to make me feel any differently about this game than I did previous to this trailer.
Honestly, previous to seeing anything about the game.
Sure.
Like, for me, it's just like, if they said Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming and it was a poster, I'd probably feel the same about it as I do now, having seen three trailers.
This trailer is just like, you close your eyes being told that Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out, and this is just what pops into your head.
It
has made me less likely to play through Red Dead Redemption 1 again before this comes out.
Yeah.
Because it does look like it's going to be similar enough that would kind of spoil either of them.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Do you think that this then means that they do a lot of gameplay stuff at E3? I know you said they go by their own schedule, but it definitely seems like it's hinting towards that. It's like, now that people really have like the tone and the vibe in their heads, and it's like the timing of it is like what, like a month and a half out from E3? Mm. Like,
maybe E3 is where they go, here's a deep dive into Red Dead Redemption Online.
Yes.
We show you all the ins and outs of that.
And you see, you know, weapon wheels and running around and matchmaking and shit like that.
Yeah. That was something else I saw that in this trailer There's a couple of close-ups of guns that look very ornate. And this is like sort of a bit of a stretch, but that maybe that's going to be where the monetization is on.
Sure.
Your pistols looking real good. Because the thing they've got in GTA 5 is obviously like, here's a flashy car and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's harder to be as wacky. And like in GTA 5, you can buy a fucking orbital cannon.
Right.
And stuff like that now. It's gotten fucked, apparently.
Right.
And you can't really do that in the Old West.
Yes. Mm.
But maybe they'll lean into like the zombie shit of like
say,
the death,
yeah. I
death
mean,
horses and whatever.
Yeah.
That Far Cry arcade mode where they've just got everything in it. Like maybe that's what they do. Maybe they just go, hey, it's the West, but there's UFOs
right.
and all sorts of weird shit in it.
Yeah.
Just, to... just slightly Western themed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
but like
it's all optional, so yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah,
I would like for them to have single player DLC be an option. I guess I would like to see less than 5 years between this and their next game.
Yes,
yeah,
it's been 5 years since GTA 3 came out for the first time.
GTA 3,
I mean five.
Yeah. fuck, is that 5 years? Wow.
Yeah,
yeah.
In 2013 wow. that came out, so it's like almost
get my life together.
So,
these guys have made two games and I've done even less.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to see them start kind of putting out more stuff. And I just hope that the multiplayer stuff isn't A, predatory, or B, just kind of inaccessible and not fun.
Like, yeah.
Or
to me, how that's how GTA 5 was.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I guess that's all to say, right?
Yeah.
Thanks everyone in the Facebook groups and stuff for commenting and good discussion about that.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed this chat. Yes, now here we go with the full regular episode. You're about to go back in time.
Yes.
Even further.
To when Nox was a little bit grumpy.
Was I?
Yeah.
I don't remember the other day.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's mentioned, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're about to find out.
I remember being in a good... I'm always in a good mood. Fuck off.
You literally... hey, listeners.
I really hope the first word of this episode is, I'm grumpy.
All right. Well, enjoy.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thanks for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo.
My name is Ben Vanel. Hello out there, filthy animals, and welcome to the show.
You have a very different attitude every time you do one of the... Well, I remain consistent, and it's a slightly grumpy attitude.
Yeah, grumpy and dismissive.
My name's Adam.
I like it. I like the... Because I say literally the exact same thing at the top of every episode, and then this motherfucker over here comes out with a goddamn curveball.
Yeah.
Nah, I like straight balls.
Mm-hmm. If you... Adam, if you were to be able to dictate that Ben say the exact same thing every week, what would it be?
Me dumb.
Man, you've spoiled next week.
Me dumb. Wow, he's dumb. Doesn't even know how to talk properly.
This
it's all
guy,
right there.
Man, he didn't.
The proof is in the pudding.
He's really made his case strongly there.
It's good. Because it's interesting because he doesn't know how to talk a sentence properly. Yeah. Talk a sentence properly.
Brother, join me in the dumb camp.
But at the same time, he has enough self-awareness to know that he's dumb.
Oh, yeah. It makes it kind
of
sad.
It's the most tragic story of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like Liam Gallagher. I've always felt like that's where Liam Gallagher's shit comes from.
I thought you were going to say the guy from Of Mice and Men.
No.
You know, actually tragic story.
Liam Gallagher he knows he's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Right.
And his brother points it out to him all the time. It's
well,
where
he
a lot
holds
of
up an L on his forehead.
Yeah, it's where a lot of the animosity comes from. I feel for Liam.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You feel a great deal of sadness for his
also,
wife?
He genuinely believes that when he was 7 years old, the ghost of John Lennon entered his body.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, I'm the reincarnation. He says, I'm the reincarnation of John Lennon. Then someone said, didn't John Lennon die 7 years after you were born? And he was like, yeah, that's when he's reincarnated in me.
This guy's got an answer for everything.
Yeah, he sounds real smart.
He's smart. Boys, what have we got today? More of our classic banter, some in-depth reviews.
I'll be talking more Liam Gallagher as we go on. Well, maybe.
Who knows?
You're going to be the one that's...
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah? Boy.
What?
Oh, boy. It's weird that you like Liam, but you would clearly be the Noel.
Oh, I know. That's why I feel for Liam, because it's like, you know, when I can't think of an example. The first example that came to my head is like when a Roman emperor sees a conquered city and he's like, wow. I feel for this city really a lot.
Oh, you're the reincarnation of Julius Caesar, aren't
That's
you?
That's me. No,
who
I'd be
died
one
when
of the
you
other...
were seven.
One of the other Caesars. How many Caesars were there?
Oh, I have no idea.
There's a bunch. There was a bunch.
Caesar Milan, the dog trainer.
Salad.
Caesar.
The palace, the yep. casino
yes.
yep. in Las Vegas.
Caesar, I barely knows her.
I think we've done them all.
The Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, yes.
I never saw that.
No, me neither.
It was good.
Was it good?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
You are going against popular opinion there.
I know.
Felt like a lot of people did not like it.
Well, I'm right.
All right, Noel.
Things that are good. God of War, you guys have both finished it.
Yes. Yep.
I am chipping away. I reckon I'll be done in the next week. So we'll be going spoilers.
Into the in a sealed section at the end of the show.
Yes.
So
yes.
no one needs to worry. What are you thinking now?
What am I
still
thinking
still liking
now?
It?
I hate it all of a sudden.
Oh, whoa.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, still great. Just a joy. Just a thoroughly great experience in every regard.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't really think that, though? The Japanese.
Yeah.
God of War, yeah. outsold by Nintendo Labo, which is simultaneously the most Japanese and funniest thing I heard this week.
Labo's been selling all right, though, I think, because we tried to get one and couldn't.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess it makes sense. It's a toy.
Yeah.
So, you know, toys sell out.
Yeah.
Games, they can make more of more easily. Yeah.
I don't know if it's
also Western games, I don't think massively popular in Japan as a rule.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Sure.
I think it might have been
Red Dead Redemption's going to suffer then.
Yeah.
It being a Western game.
Yeah. Wolfenstein 2 on the Switch.
Should I say it again?
Oh. Oh, you did need to me, dumb.
A Western game.
Yeah, baby.
I thought you just had a random example of like, yeah, I guess Spider-Man probably.
You are the Liam to my Noel.
Okay. 2 out of 3 of the show is dumb. When am I going to fall? Probably never. I wonder if it's like genuinely that
two
popular.
Thirds would be what you'd say, not 2 out of 3 of the show. So you've already fallen.
Well, what
mate.
Would you know, you fucking idiot? Yeah, it's hard to know whether it is just that popular here or whether it's just like retailers massively underestimating, like just getting three in. But look,
I'm willing to bet they didn't want to have the fucking Guitar Hero thing again when you got this massive box, because it's quite a big box.
Yeah, they take up heaps of shelf space.
Even though it's just cardboard in there, it's a large amount of cardboard.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
We were going to film some stuff with it today. Look, I'll cop the blame for this one. My local JB Hi-Fi closed last night at 5 p.m. I went in there at 4:45 and was greeted with that big old hand-drawn sold-out sign and went, well, given that it's now 5 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, there are literally no other options available to me to purchase this.
We're recording this on a Sunday, by the way. Totally just made obvious. Mm-hmm. So if there's any news that's happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord's Day, the day of rest. So very big of us. We get penalty rates for doing this today. So
we do, yeah.
More Patreon money. That's nice.
Oh, very good.
Yes. So, yeah, that's kind of funny. But, the word on it seems to be people are enjoying it, finding it to be, you know, a relatively shallow experience, but I don't think that's caught anyone by surprise, given that it is aimed at children. But,
the
yeah.
build times of each of the individual objects that you can build are way longer than I assumed.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the piano takes 2 to 3 hours to build. I've heard up to 4. The robot can be like 8 to 10.
That's crazy.
It's like weekend project shit.
Yeah. You compare it to like Lego or something like that, and you know, like that's half an hour to an hour, you know, maybe a couple tops for big ones. But yeah.
Oddly enough, like I think that's great. That kind of makes me more interested in it, because that's the bit that I think is the most kind of fun part of it.
100%.
But yeah, that's my only problem with it. Like I kind of, I'm torn between kind of like wanting to have it to kind of build all the shit and then just like fuck around with. But then I don't want to have these little dumb cardboard things. I don't want to have to like store them in my house somewhere for something that I'm probably never going to pick up and use again, except for like, I don't know, when people come around and be like, oh, check this cool thing out.
Yeah. We've had someone in the Patreon Facebook group mention that she went to a friend's house who had it and played it. Well, it was a she.
Well,
you can tell.
I don't want to. It's 2018. I don't want to make any.
All right, it's 3 out of 3 now.
Happy for that to be the hill that I die on.
She said, like, it was fun, but I would not buy it. Like, it seems like a waste of money. So,
I mean, like, you really. If you have a kid, it, like, you'll have a great experience with them, I'm sure. But yeah, just as a thing, as an adult man,
yes.
I would enjoy building it, and then that'll be it. And then I'm probably
fun for kids of all ages,
yes.
from ages 1 to 100.
Yeah, if you're 101, get fucked.
you yes. ain't folding cardboard.
No.
So Nintendo announced a new president during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Kimishima, he's stepping down.
I haven't really noticed him around. Not in the same way that Iwata, really.
You know, waving on the street.
Well, like, Iwata was front... he was there all the time.
He was there for ages, right?
Well, he was the president from, like, I think... Not that, like 2005 or something.
But he'd been
like 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, 10-ish years, but... this dude didn't show up in any of those directs. Mm. He was just in the background.
I think it was maybe... I would assume that's probably deliberate because Iwata was, like, so beloved and such a, like... him being kind of the face of those directs became such a thing.
Yeah.
So it's probably out of a respect of, like... we're not just going to have this guy immediately jump in and be the face of
be
it.
Be a big
well,
personality.
Well, they just had that other dude who I'm not sure who he is who does the click.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who that is either. But yeah, this new guy, Shuntaro Furukawa, he currently runs their global marketing department. He's been with them since 1994. He's worked in a bunch of other roles, and he's also the Pokemon Company's outside director and Nintendo's managing executive officer.
You could see why they would want the guy who marketed the Switch to be the president of that company.
Yeah, good point. Absolutely.
And he'll be 46 years old, which is pretty young for a president of, really.
Yeah.
I'm glad you talked over that and that I talked over it the second time.
Obama was.
Try it a fourth
time. Obama was there.
God.
All right. Do it a fifth time, maybe. Okay, moving on. So,
all right, great. But I don't know if you guys know this, but that's the age that Obama was when he became president of a little company called the United States of America.
I don't think that's true.
And it is a company. They just do it for the money.
What was that, Adam?
Obama was
that age when he became president.
But yeah, cool. That guy was only there for 2 years. As the president, right? Or 2, maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. And I guess it's weird that he takes over after Iwata dies and has been the head of the company whilst they've had this huge upswing.
Yeah.
And the biggest one they've had in a very, very long time.
I think you could very confidently say, though, that he would have been reaping the seeds that Iwata sowed.
That was going to be my point.
And I think you could confidently say that, so go ahead.
Obama was 46 when he...
But yeah, it is a weird thing to be you're the guy in charge, but yeah, that was all kind of lined up for him when he took over.
Yep.
47 years old.
Oh, you moron.
Obama
you
was 47
fucking idiot.
Years
I can't
old.
Believe that you've said that so
you
many
double
times.
So...
Does it say why this guy's stepping down?
No, they haven't really gone into it. I guess maybe...
I saw something saying that it was because he's going to step down and still be in like an advisory role, but it's basically heading towards retirement.
Right.
Right. My guess would have been something along the lines of like he kind of was just in the hot seat while all this stuff that had... that was already in effect happened. Now it's like they're heading into that new phase, like him kind of going,
I've done my interim thing.
I was happy to steer the ship for a bit.
Yeah, right. So. I'm going to suspect a secret scandal.
You fucked Yoshi.
So this new guy actually sounds pretty interesting because he gave a few statements where he said, "We'll develop the company to its fullest. I will balance Nintendo's traditions, originality, and flexibility." And he said, "I grew up playing the Famicom and come from that generation. Now as a member of management with Super Mario's creator Shigeru Miyamoto, I have a lot of respect for him. On the other hand, with this new job, that can't just be it. So I expect to say what needs to be said to run the company."
Ooh. Oh, shit.
So,
wow.
He's going to tear Miyamoto out.
Yeah.
Pikmin 4, motherfucker. Where is it?
Which, who knows if anything will come of this, but that is pretty interesting because they haven't, who knows what will come of it, but they haven't really ever had anyone in there who's just been like, "Yeah, I'm sounds like he's prepared to potentially,
make some big calls.
Make some big calls.
And he's been at the company for, 24 years or something. So I bet he's got a lot of stuff he's wanted to say for a long time as well.
That'd totally. Be great. His first day in there, he just unloads on everyone.
Yeah.
Like, you fucked this up.
Yeah.
That Pokemon that's the keys looks fucking stupid.
I guess he's young enough where he... Yeah, remembers being a gamer growing up, which I don't think a lot of people in that company would really have. Like, they'd be too isolated. So,
I guess Iwata was like that as well. He was relatively young for a president as well.
Sure, and he'd been involved for his entire life, basically. Yeah.
But in progress, So, yeah, cool.
Yeah, we'll be interesting to see how this pans out. They,
Wii U 2, baby.
Oh, mama.
They've announced their E3 schedule. Nothing huge there, but just
I'm pretty sure
Smash Brothers is getting a big look in.
Yeah,
they said that it's only going to be focusing on games coming out in 2018, right? Like they're not really going to talk about 2019. I saw this somewhere, so that kind of goes like, no Metroid Prime 4.
Right.
Oh, really? Okay.
Possibly no Pokemon.
I missed that bit, but yeah, that's interesting. So they've also. Yeah, they announced their kind of like earnings and sales over the last year and as expected, Switch, huge numbers. And a lot of their games did really, really well, which is cool.
Microsoft said something about their E3 as well where they said there was some ridiculous line of like Xbox actually has the highest engagement of any of the consoles.
Right.
Like if people have them, they use them the most. So actually we're doing the best.
Yeah. If you change the way that things are measured, we come out on top.
Xbox is actually the largest in size console. So we've sold the most like square footage of console.
If you laid them all out next to each other, we'd have the biggest country.
I bet it still wouldn't be.
Engagement is such a like desperate buzzword that just means like nothing else is going on.
Totally.
I had someone flyering for me during the festival, and the first two nights they were like, your flyers are getting real engagement out there. Like, people are looking at them and saying this. I'm like, cool. I had no walk-ups. So who cares what the engagement is?
Also, that is the most tangible engagement, is getting a ticket sale.
Yes.
So really, you're just, like, watering down how you failed.
If I buy an entire product, I have engaged quite heavily with that product.
Exactly.
But I think they've still been pretty cagey about the rumors are, like, Fable 4, a new Fable game, but... Again, that's just, cool, dig up your other old franchise that you don't... If it's like Forza Horizon 4, I mean, we've said this before, but their one is the one I'm the most... Like, they need some new shit.
Yes, totally.
Which I hope that's what they're leaning towards.
Yeah, we speculated that they were going to, like, get a big publisher like Rockstar on board... And that could be their thing.
But if they're doing that, if they're showing things that are available on any other console in their like press conference, then they've wasted their time.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
Totally agreed.
Especially when you've got like God of War and shit like that coming out for the PS4.
Yeah.
And then Sony's one as well. I'm not really sure what they're going to show because they've got Days Gone and Last of Us.
Yes.
They've got Spider-Man, which is coming out later in the year.
Yep.
But if they're showing the same things they've shown for the past 2 years again.
2 years now, yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
well, you assume that they will have something new.
You'd hope so.
Right? Like we were, I think that the industry in general was disappointed enough by their previous one that they've got to know. And they appear to be aware.
Maybe this will be another cycle year where they're just showing, it's just like, here's stuff that's coming out in 2020. Like the thing they did 2 years ago where they just went, boom, here's fucking everything we've even thinking about.
That'd be great. If they just basically announce, like, here's the rest of the games that'll be on the PS4.
Yeah,
and then in 2 years we'll announce a PS5.
Yeah.
But until then... This is what you're getting for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, it's interesting. I feel like God of War has been surprisingly popular and good, I feel
it's
like.
It's sold really well.
You know, like the lead up, we were like, okay, this looks interesting. I don't think we thought this would be the best game of the year or anything.
No.
And
I thought it'd be a big seller, like just because it's big AAA budget, like.
It certainly started picking up momentum in the last few months.
Yeah. And I feel like this could happen with Days Gone. It's a game that we were like, okay, sure, like this is a theme that's been done before and a style that's been done before, but it looks nice. And I've been kind of more into it as more trailers have been released.
I think you're underselling how much – I think people were – pretty excited when that God of War was first announced.
Yeah, right.
People were pretty amped because it's coming off the back of it being like a reboot or whatever.
Yeah.
Days Gone doesn't really have anything attached to it except for zombies, which I think people are a little over.
I think most people are still really into zombies.
Really?
Oh,
okay.
The Walking Dead is still one of the most popular shows on TV. Like, the majority of people, I think, are still into it.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely over them. But
also in the face of, like, there's a new Last of Us well, like, that doesn't help it. But, yeah, you could be right. Like,
it's just looked like it would play crappily in each of those trailers to me. Right. Just a feeling. Something off about it.
Yeah, I don't think that's the popular sentiment, though. I think people are into it.
No, but when I'm proven right in a few months when it comes out, man, you guys are going to be licking my boots.
I'm going to be saying me dumb all over again.
It's probably worth pointing out.
Me dumb and full of...
this will happen with this discussion. Like, the number of people who point out to us, like, oh, I was listening to your episode from 2 years ago, and boy, oh boy, yeah. You were wrong on a lot of stuff. No shit. Yeah. We're talking about an industry that's like, there's constantly new stuff being announced and things fluctuate all the time. Like, of course we're going to sound like fuckheads if you take something in isolation from 2 years ago.
I saw someone pointing out that our opinions change on stuff as well. I'm like, also correct.
As they should. If you have a rigid, strict opinion on something, you're not a intelligent, open person. Yeah.
No, I thought Days Gone looked bad a few years ago, and even though I've played it and liked it, it's still bad.
Yeah, that's kind of me with Nintendo, though, to be fair. okay, so we should also talk about this. I hadn't read this during the week, Knox, but you pointed this out, that GTA 4 has pulled a heap of music.
Yeah. It's another, like, this has happened with San Andreas in the past and a bunch of other games as well, that they, when they make it, they sign contracts for a certain amount of time, and then when that time is up, it's been patched so that those songs are no longer in the game. And so one of them...
This is your biggest fear in the world, isn't it?
I hate things...
Not being able to listen to David Bowie while you kill a sex worker.
I could do that anytime I want, but it's the, like, impermanence of things these days. And there's so much shit. I've got a list of all the songs here and it's fucking long, so I won't
read
go through
all of them.
Yeah, read all of them.
Let's play all of them.
Sing all of them, yeah.
Well, so you can just play this podcast while you play GTA 4 and then most of them come from Vladivostok FM, which I feel like gave that game its main tone.
Right. Sure.
And so there are enough taken out of there that they actually replaced some of them with new songs.
Yeah, right.
In this patch.
Yep.
Now, I mean, what's most interesting to me about this is, you know, this happens with, like, TV shows being... I remember when DVD first became big and the whole thing of owning series on DVD.
Dawson's Creek, seasons 2 onwards, had a different theme song to season 1.
Daria, I think, had none of, like, the MTV, you know.
Yeah,
like
a lot of shows. It took them ages to be... I mean, Beavis and Butthead, it took them ages to be able to license because they had the music videos in and stuff.
I think Freaks and Geeks as well.
Freaks and Geeks, I think they managed to do it.
Yeah,
because I've only just recently watched it on DVD and there's, like...
I think it was very
Styx
pricey,
is in there
though,
and stuff like that. Yeah. I think that was maybe like they wanted to bring it out enough that they were like, fuck it, we'll pay the money.
Yeah.
So to me, the idea of something being licensed for a very nearsighted finite period was kind of gone. I guess GTA 4 is relatively old now,
so maybe this is
the cutting point. But I would love to know how it works. With something like GTA 5, I would imagine now, if you're licensing stuff for a game or a movie, surely the contract is just we're assuming that everything's just around forever from now on.
No, because people want to save money. And if the company is like, it will cost X dollars to have it in perpetuity, then they'll go like, okay, what about 10 years?
There are recent examples of this.
Really?
Too. Marvel vs. Capcom 3, two of the characters got removed from it because they weren't... They had limited licenses because it was like Fox owned part of them or whatever.
Right.
There was a game, Ace Combat I think it was Ace Combat or what's the other fucking one? Afterburner.
Oh, yeah.
A mobile one. They had a fucking license for one of the jets from like fucking, not Boeing, but whatever, whoever makes attack jets.
Yeah, Lockheed or something.
Yeah, that license went away. So they removed that thing from the App Store after like a year. There's been talk of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which came out last September or something, being delisted for similar reasons.
Right.
It's fucking insane. Like, it's Very short sight. But it's also, it speaks to the thing of people wanting that opening weekend to be their sales, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That first week of sales is the thing.
Yeah. Because I would have thought in the case of something like GTA, if you're licensing a song from a band, you like knowing now that those games are huge, that's a lot of exposure for your music. So bands, I would think, would want their music to be in it. So that gives, that gives Rockstar or whoever is in actually in charge of that stuff the kind of leverage to be able to go, okay, you're going to get a a lot of audience hearing your music out of this. If you want it to be in it, it has to be a license where this soundtrack has to be in the game.
But then if you're
forever.
In bed with a massive company like Rockstar, you also think, okay, in 5 years they've got the money to pay us again.
Sure.
Yeah, we can double dip with them.
I'd assume it's a lot of deals with like Sony and Paramount and Universal, like people who are like, here's 500 songs, so pay the license for those. And you can have them all. We're not consulting, specifics. It's just a big package deal.
There's 50 different stages of lawyers for all these different holdings companies that are going through all these fucking things.
It sucks too because, I mean, artists should get paid for their stuff being in licensed in things. But, in a case like the GTA games, it's such a big part of the personality of the games and it changes it. Like, it really does.
It's a shame.
Like, my memories of GTA 5 and how much I loved that game are specific moments of the right song just happening to come on the radio when you're doing this specific thing. And
well, and so GTA 4, you're in kind of an okay position where the version that's on the disc is pretty much done. So you can not patch it and it's fine.
Right.
You don't have to patch it. Something more modern like 5, the patches are kind of important.
Yeah.
So as we go more and more into the future and games become like this constant stream of updates and this like live product that you kind of can't play outside of being on a server, it becomes worse and worse and worse because there is no original version to go back to. So
I mean, I guess if you're getting it early on and patching it as it goes, I guess you just have to sort of work like when that patch comes along, just kind of stop it from automatically downloading unless you want to go online.
But you don't have that option anymore. Like a lot of modern games, what's on the disc isn't the full fucking game.
Yeah.
You can't play what's on the disc. You have to download X number of gigabytes of patches as well.
Yeah.
So at some point there will be games that, I mean, there already are a bunch of games that no longer exist or don't exist in there. Like you can't buy the original version of San Andreas with its original music in.
Yeah.
So, but you can still play it because pirates archive all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's where it all is.
Yeah, totally.
The high seas.
Someone posted a comment in our Facebook group asking us what was the question? A lot of people in the group have been saying that God of War is the thing that's made them go, fuck this, all right, it's time to get a PS4.
Yes.
Which I think is absolutely valid. And if you are someone who's on the fence, then this is the game to go in on if you've been thinking about it. Previous consoles, what's the game that's made you go, I have to buy this console for this game?
Yeah. Yes.
Should we run backwards through time and do all of them?
Let's do it.
Fuck yeah. Who wants to go first?
I put it in the thread. I bought the Switch because of Breath of the Wild. People were going off their tits about it.
I bought a Wii U because of Breath of the Wild. And then about 4 months later went, fuck, I've got to buy a Switch.
Should have just saved the money and got the Switch. Yeah, but that's my recent one.
Yeah.
It's worth it as well.
Yeah.
It's a fucking good game.
Yeah.
Did the PS4 have one or did you just get one?
I got it like close to launch, I think.
Right.
So, yeah, no.
Because the PS4 was Persona 5 for me, even though I owned a PS3, which it was also on.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Persona 5 and also like Horizon and having played Bloodborne. And like it was just a tipping point of like, okay.
There's enough.
And I know there's going to be a bunch of things in the future.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
I'm trying to think what made me get the PS4. I think just doing this show and just knowing that there was enough stuff coming out and me and my housemate talked about like, let's go halves on it. Get one for the house. I went and bought it and then he never paid me his half. So now it's just mine, which is actually great.
That's
because
great.
Now we don't have to have a very messy conversation somewhere down the line.
Yes.
But yeah, I think because weirdly enough, it was The Witness and something else, like some other indie.
Firewatch.
Yeah.
It was like those two were being talked about a lot. And so weirdly enough, I kind of bought it, and for a little while, the only two things I had on it were these two indie games that
That's right.
I could have just probably what played on my Mac.
And then Ratchet and Clank was pretty early on when you got your PS4,
yeah, that was a couple
was
months in.
And Uncharted 4 came and
I think Uncharted 4, I think I got it in the summer. So I got it in like January or February, and then Uncharted was like that April. So I knew that was coming. So I was like, I may as well get it and just be ready for that.
Yeah. The Xbox One for me was that Halo collection thing.
That's
that
right.
Ended up being fucking shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they're apparently patching soon.
Yeah, yeah.
4 years, three and a half years later.
It's fucking hell.
Huge.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Xbox One for me, because that was my Xbox One, I think it was, I got it before I got a PS4 and I was like, great, new generation. I'm going in on the Xbox One. It's got this Kinect thing. It all sounds really cool.
Whoops.
Whoops. Big mistake. And basically.
The Kinect.
Yeah. That really shit me because it didn't work properly.
Yeah.
That thing's shithouse.
Yeah. And so it was getting rid of that, getting the PS4 was the good move. But that was more like just having the income to be like, great, I'm getting in on the new generation at the start.
Yeah.
But then, yeah.
Yeah, the PS3, I believe it was Uncharted. I think Uncharted 2, but also I'd bought a new TV. Like I'd upgraded from like a, what do you call, what were the old square?
CRT.
Like,
yeah.
Huge back on it, like proper TV.
Yeah, baby got back.
And had a Wii, which was kind of on its sort of, I think, vaguely on its way out at the time. And
right.
Yeah. And I wanted a thing that I could play Blu-rays on. So I got that and got Uncharted 2.
Right.
The Wii U, I went in day one. I'm not quite sure why. I think it was like having the income at the time to just get something day one, which I hadn't done since the Nintendo 64. So I just wanted that excitement of going in and going, yeah.
Yeah.
The Wii was Mario Galaxy.
Yeah. Both the PS3 and the Wii, I was late. And it was, I don't think it was a game. It was like, I finally have saved up enough money to buy this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wii is the one thing I've gotten at the time of its launch.
Right.
Because it was like, I can save up for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to play Zelda, which ended up being fine.
Yeah.
And then Wii Sports. But then the PS3 was Metal Gear Solid 4. And I bought a fucking bundle with Metal Gear Solid 4. And they only had the composite cables in them.
Oh yeah,
just the yellow, white,
yellow,
red.
Yeah,
so RCA, I had to go whatever.
Buy an HDMI cord as well.
Yeah, I had that same experience, and they're not cheap.
No, especially in like 2008. They were.
Yeah.
And then Metal Gear Solid.
If you get a salesman who's like, "You need the gold plated one,
oh,
dude."
Oh, that fucking rip off shit that doesn't happen anymore. I don't think they sell those, or people don't tend to buy them anymore. But that was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. HDMIs, what are they now? Is it, you know, it's like everything, you know, you can get a USB for about $3 now.
Yeah. Like, I've got like unnecessary ones.
Yeah, same. Yeah. It's like, oh, buy this car in red, it'll go faster.
But then Metal Gear Solid 4 lasted for about 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, whoops. But then the PS3 ended up having some pretty good stuff on it.
Yeah, the Uncharted games.
But back when it started, it was the PS3 was like, the joke was that it was a Blu-ray player.
Yes.
And like, oh, the best game for it is Talladega Nights.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And then I think it came out. Well, did you have a 360?
My brother did, and I just played it. He got one because of like Dead Rising, I think, real early on. And then it was like, and then Halo 3 was the first game I really paid attention to on the 360.
Right. Yeah. I can't tell, what happened with that generation in terms of like who came out on top.
The 360 did by a mile.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And then the PS3 started to catch up towards the back end of it, but it was the 360. Well, it was the Wii, I guess.
Yeah,
but
I guess
that's like a separate thing.
Yes. Well, and I had that as well. Yeah.
And then I think even more than the Wii, it was like the DS.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Shit's crazy, man. The DS is fucking weird because like so many random motherfuckers have DSs.
Yeah.
Well, that when it first came out, I thought, oh, they
total randos.
Yeah.
Thought they fucked it here because the first version of it wasn't backlit. It was that big,
it was
clunky,
backlit,
ugly. Was it?
Yeah, but like kind of weakly, and it was that big gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monstrosity,
but it had some backlighting
thing
on it.
Yeah. Right. And then they released the light, which was kind of like the more clamshell thing, which was when I went in because I was like, this thing looks really cool now.
Yeah.
They kind of basically, they just made it look like an Apple product.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Really quickly, which was very smart, because it all of a sudden looked like this, instead of being this goofy, unwieldy thing, it looked like it snapped up to about the size of a phone, so you kind of could fit it in your pocket. And I loved my DS.
DS stands for dick sucking.
Oh boy.
I'm sure you've said that before on this show.
I don't care. Me dumb.
We almost need to never talk about the DS again if this is what you're going to be. And then, I bought what inspired me to buy a 3DS. Make a joke out of that name, idiot.
Three, damn it.
Was being in America when the dollar was, like, I think over parity. So it was
we had a strong fucking dollar at one point.
Oh, it was great.
Time. It was a good time.
Just coincidentally happening to go on a trip over there and, like, oh boy, so good. Fuck. So bought one thinking the region locking stuff won't bother me too much. Bup-ow. What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, shit.
So glad that those days are over of them locking out stuff from other countries. I've known stuff was coming. Like, the Switch I bought because I was like, okay, I'm going in on this for this show, and, you know, Zelda looks great and I'm sure I'll be, you know, the new Mario and everything. But I don't think I've ever really had a one big game that's like me going to the shop on the day that it comes out and buying the console and the game for that game.
Metal Gear Solid 4 is the only time that's actually happened to me.
Right.
Because I was a big fucking, I loved Metal Gear Solid. Loved with a D at the end.
Wow.
But
what happened?
Man, Metal Gear Solid 5 happened, motherfucker. Let's not get into it.
Our friend Angus Truscott is in Japan at the moment and posted a funny photo of him out the front of Konami giving him the finger.
That's funny. That'll show him all the millions of dollars they've earned through their spa business. Being bookies?
Pachinko.
I don't know what they are anymore.
They're
pachinko as well.
How'd you forget that? It's such a fun word.
I've blocked him out of my head, man.
I like the idea that the CEO is in there looking out the window at Truscott flipping in the bird. Get over here. This young Western boy is giving us the bird.
There's probably not a console that's ever existed that is worth buying for only one game, though.
Do you mean to say there's not one game out there that is worth buying a whole console just for it?
Either way.
What about... I kind of think if I'd... this is hard to say. I'd only ever played Breath of the Wild on the Switch, and that was the only way I could have played it.
Yeah,
it's worth about $600. Like, I think it's a incredible game, and I love games.
Yeah, I mean, that is effectively what the Switch has been for you as well.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Like, I just don't think I could do it. It's like how people buy arcade cabinets or pinball machines and shit.
True, yeah.
I cannot justify it to myself ever.
I mean,
if I'm going to buy something, it has to have several applications.
I mean, we are talking about something that is very much a luxury pursuit. So it's, course, down to someone's personal, like, budget and finances.
I think if I'd told myself ahead of time, like, you will buy this console for $500 and you'll buy this game for, you know, $80.
Yeah.
And you'll love the game, but you won't play any other games on it. I don't know if I knew that ahead of time that I would do it, but I'm okay with it
If you went back in time and told yourself only one thing and it was that as well, you deserve to lose that money on that Switch. Yeah. Go back and go like, Bitcoin, but only briefly. All right, bye.
Yeah, fuck. I think I got the 3DS XL when Animal Crossing came out.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was curious. But again, it's like I kind of just had the money at that time to do it. I wasn't like super motivated and like waiting to do it.
Yeah. I mean, anything like when your disposable income is different. Everything is a much, much bigger decision. Like when I was younger, I would sit on things for months and months and months and months and months. And then even when I would finally go in, I would be, you know, very trepidatiously giving over my card, going like, if I'm bored of this in a week, I'm going to feel real stupid.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Yeah, really stressed about it. But some interesting answers in the thread, and thank you to whoever started it.
Yeah. Matt, it was probably one of the Matts. There's about eight Matts in there.
I believe it was one of the six Joshuas.
Ah, yes. Hello, Joshuas.
Hello, Chris's.
So this week I have been playing South Park The Fractured But Whole. I still can't say it without
it still sounds
remember
like...
Remember how the guy in the Nintendo Direct managed to say it without it saying like butthole?
Let me have a go. South Park The Fractured Butthole.
Nah,
that sounded more.
It sounded more. South Park The Fractured But Whole.
It's
that's,
but
I reckon that's but. How he did it. Yeah, yeah, that's how
South
he did
Park,
it.
South Park, the fractured but whole.
That's yeah, it. That's you how make we did one it. One of the words but, sound wrong.
But
we've cracked
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So Nox,
we've cracked it. Have we?
Shove it up my butt.
Or did I crack it?
Well, you did it on this show, which we're all equal shareholders in. So now it's our domain, and you can come to me in 5 years' time and renew the license if you want.
What do you reckon of it?
I really like it. Yeah, okay. Did you finish it or not?
Nah, I just dropped off after like 3 hours. And right. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I really like it a lot. I kind of at the start of it, I thought it seemed like it was going to be very shallow because the way that it kind of drops you in, it's pretty simplistic.
Right.
But it then very quickly opens up and throws a lot of stuff at you. And yeah, I think it's a really solid RPG. I really like the combat. It's not a million miles away from the combat in Mario Rabbids.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a grid-based kind of...
Grid, yeah.
Very, like a smaller scale, I guess, and no real environmental interaction.
The moving around doesn't really do anything. Like in you have your movement attacks in Mario Rabbids where you can like jump off other people.
Yeah.
And this is just like more you're kind of moving out of the way or moving closer. And your attacks all kind of have a different range of where they go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the exploring around the town is really great. And, yeah, it's just like playing – even not being – like I haven't really kept up with South Park. It just is still really interesting to play something where it just looks and feels different to how you're used to a game feeling because you're so – because the show has been around so long – so it kind of looks like you're kind of controlling an episode of the show.
Yeah.
It kind of immediately, for me, I find it very easy to forget that I'm kind of in a game. Like yeah. It makes it feel just playing something with a bit different presentation where the enemies are all different because they're characters from the show and there's so much speech in it. There's so right. much dialogue. Yeah. It's pretty rare in any battle that I've been in that there's been repeated dialogue.
There's individual little jokes for every little bit.
Totally. Right, it constantly feels fresh and like something different is happening. And even just outside of the fact that it's South Park, so there's like lots of funny stuff happening, there's just these kind of cool little things where playing on the fact that it is these kids playing superheroes. So you'll be in the middle of a battle and the battle kind of stops momentarily because they'll go car and you'll have to move off the road and a car drive. Just little things like that.
Yeah.
That even just beyond it being South Park is like the world of it being kids pretending to be in a video game is kind of cool. And the way that it plays on that. Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. I was playing it on the tram the other day and I got up to a bit where you're in a strip club and having to give a lap dance. And I went, I'm going to put this away because this is embarrassing to play on a tram.
Did you ever play the Stick of Truth?
No.
Okay, so I think that is part of what made me get bored of the second one a little quicker because all of that stuff that you're talking about was in the first
one. It's the same. Yeah.
I've only played the Stick of Truth and I was, it's exactly, it's the same.
And it is more of the same. And like it is good same.
Yeah. But what's really cool about it is at the very start of it, it's kind of like the end of, like they're still playing the characters from Stick of Truth.
Yeah.
And so there's like 5 minutes where they're all dressed up as wizards and stuff.
Right.
And then it's like, no, we're not playing that anymore. We're playing superheroes.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't play Stick of Truth, I thought that was cool that they kind of bleed into each
other. Totally. And the combat system is completely different in the second one at least. But all of the trappings around it and the town is exactly the same.
Right.
It's the same layer and everything. Okay. And you do slightly different stuff in it. But yeah, it is it's very similar to the second one. But it expanded. But yeah, it's good that going into the second one cold is just as effective.
I think it might be one of the best licensed games for maintaining the spirit of the show. You could still have fun with this even if you don't know the show, I feel like.
Sure.
But just like, South Park has been around for so long now that like you come across Randy and he's like blind drunk and you have to fight him and like that's really satisfying and funny.
Yeah.
Like when you're walking around the town, like Cartman is kind of constantly checking in with you and like, you go into these cutscenes and it feels exactly like the show.
They do a good job of dipping into that well of old jokes that they have without it being too like,
Yeah.
Right.
Did you get up to the bit where there's a you go into the police station and the cops get you to like be basically like a junior detective for them, but then they immediately – so these are like side quests where they're like, hey, go investigate this and you'll go over there and the cop will be like calling you just going like, this, you know, this guy's probably armed to the teeth, so be careful in there. Like, they're sending you out on really dangerous shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first one that they get you to do, you go into a house and then there's just a black dude in there and he's just like minding his own business. He's like, hey, what are you doing in my house? And the cop is like, oh shit, he's become hostile, like take him down.
Yeah.
Fuck. And you have to fight him and beat the shit out of him and he doesn't fight you back.
Jesus.
He's just like, what are you doing? And it's like comes up with a quest like defeat the drug dealer. It's like
fuck.
Very fucked up, but it's very South Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it works as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
none right. of it's like the difficulty setting being based on your skin color was that controversy at the right. time. But it works in the context of the game.
Because
Cartman's
like,
there narrating it going like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I don't know if you want to be there, but it's going to be harder.
Yeah.
Perfect impression. Perfect. Oh, my God.
That's very good.
But to have stuff like that where it's not just like a joke that's kind of written in as you're walking around, like an actual gameplay mechanic is a joke in and of itself.
The dumb little toilet things where you've got to fart correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
I mean, I could do without that, but
I think it's
fine.
It's stupid and it just totally it has the same tone. But yes, I think it is the impact of it is a little lessened if you've played the first one.
Sure,
right.
And you're constantly unlocking like new bits of costume and stuff that you can change and customize. Like your little quests that you're doing in the main story, like these little mini episodes where you're kind of like you gradually unlock more people for your team, but sometimes you'll be on a thing where it's just you and like one of the characters, so your team is locked, but you eventually kind of expand and getting, you know, unlocking like, you know, Jimmy to be on your team and Craig to be on your team, like if you're a fan of the show, that sort of stuff is really cool. But what sucks about it is that I have heard from two separate people that who've had the game bug out and crash on them, and it takes you back to your last manual save, so it's constantly auto saving. But like, and this happened to a lot of people on the PS4 version where they had a game breaking bug and had to go all the way back to their last manual save, which who remembers to do that in this day and age,
right?
Which is insane that they had this bug from a version 6 months ago that they didn't fix for this latest update.
Right.
So
that sucks.
I heard that happened to two people I know who are playing it over the weekend, and it's kind of made me pretty hesitant to keep going in on it until there's some kind of patch, because I don't want to have that happen to me. And it kind of makes it, I don't know, I really want to recommend it, especially on the Switch. It's a great thing for the Switch.
Yeah.
But it's hard to recommend something that is buggy and might fuck up on you. So I don't know. And it is, I mean, this is a third party thing and it's Ubisoft. It is pretty, it's not cheap. I think it's like the cheapest you can get it is like $79 at JB. But just a real shame to have everything else be so spot on, and was loving it. But that's Ubisoft have done it again.
Fuck.
Those fuckers are back on their bullshit.
Totally.
Yeah.
Total bummer.
The first one isn't out on the Switch, right? Stick of Truth is not on the Switch. Okay,
no,
right.
Which that was a good game.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll end up porting that over.
Oh,
maybe
who knows? Probably in like 5 years with the rate they seem comfortable having games come out on.
Yeah,
the time in between.
But just walking around in the town and having the characters talk to you and stuff. It reminded me of like when that first South Park game came out on the Nintendo 64, and just and in peak South Park hysteria.
Yes.
The joy of playing the multiplayer mode, and like you hit Garrison with a snowball filled with piss and he has stuff that he's saying to you, like, yeah. I would love to see a good Simpsons game.
Yeah.
Simpsons Hit and Run, I remember people saying was good. Like the Grand Theft Auto knockoff.
They made a couple around the movie coming out that I remember people kind of liking.
That's the problem, is that you'd have to – I'd like to see a good Simpsons game come out in 1999, you know? And like if it's now, it's like –
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked
– There's more bad Simpsons than good.
That's the difference with like the South Park guys now writing a video game, where South Park is still good.
It's on the same level that it's always been.
It's arguably better than it used to be as well.
We talked about it. I think it was around the time we started this show. Their season around the election and maybe the one before that.
19, I think, was the one I got back in on.
Yeah, where they were doing these like kind of season-long storylines.
PC Police was a good one.
And Garrison running for president
were
both great.
Yeah.
Really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If you're prepared to manually save after you do everything, then go in.
But I tend to do manual saves a lot because I've had it happen. I think it was like Knights of the Old Republic 2. I lost my entire game. And this was like, it wasn't recent where you can like re-emulate sort of a save file and pop it back in. This was like, you know, in the early 2000s when I had to actually start the game again from scratch. So ever since then, I've just been a saver. I remember liking the Simpsons games that were on the NES, the Bart versus the World.
Same.
The Bart versus the Space Mutants, I think.
Yep.
Never played any of that. I don't think I've ever played a Simpsons game.
Right.
There was one on Game Boy, which was Escape from Camp Deadly.
Oh, nice.
I loved all those games back in the time. I'm sure they're objectively terrible. I think I just liked them because it was cool to have a video game based on a thing that you liked from the TV.
Totally. You're what? How dare you, young man? That's so funny that was like the attitude around Bart. Like, he's saying to eat his shorts.
Yeah.
How could I even possibly do that? They have no nutritional value.
That would be great. Sorry.
The Space Mutants game being fucking difficult.
They're all really hard.
Yeah.
Well, there was that one arcade one.
Yeah, that's right.
It had the four players you could be, or the four Simpsons.
Yes.
The arcade one's really fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Very repetitive and simple, but fun.
I remember playing it at the birthday you had at, was it Forgotten Worlds?
Yep.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Great bar.
Yeah.
But it's fun because Konami made it. So they just, it's basically a Ninja Turtles game with Simpsons skins
on it. Very much so. Mr. Burns?
Mr. Burns, Smithers kidnaps Maggie.
Right.
And you're trying to go and get her back.
Okay.
But that would be a cool indie project to make like a new Simpsons game, but you're imagining that you're making it around the time that like season 9 was out.
Yeah. Fuck, that is a great idea.
Yeah.
A Sonic Mania sort of thing.
Yeah, totally.
Lurleen steals Maggie.
Nice.
And you're trying to get her back.
Well, Frank Grimes could be the villain.
Yes.
Yep.
Grimesy.
That'd be
the
great.
Ghost of Frank Grimes, and he could have like magical powers.
Fuck yes.
Oh shit. Delete this part.
Well, we'd only have about 20 minutes of episode.
Right. So yeah, is there much else to say for this week?
I think that's the week.
I think that's about the week. We were hoping that you would finish God of War, Tommy, so we could go all in on a spoilerific sealed section.
We'll give people more time to finish it as well. Next week is probably makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. I'll have more time to do all the extra stuff in it.
And don't worry about listening to it because it'll be a separate end of the episode.
We'll just do it at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Some stuff out in the next week. The Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is out at the end of the week on Switch.
Nice.
Great platformer. Played a big chunk of it on the Wii U, but still looking forward to going back in on it because I enjoyed it that much.
This will be the first time I have picked the Switch up in a long time.
Right.
Yeah, it's when literally does that fucking gathering dust.
Oh, okay. There's still like a month, but that Detroit game's out soon-ish.
Right.
I reckon that's going to be bad, but we'll see.
Yeah, same. I think it'll be bad in an interesting way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
A lot like the Michael Jackson song.
Thriller.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. filthycasuals.com.au for links to our socials, the Patreon. If you want to chip in, we have premium episodes over at Bandcamp. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, listen to these two chumps talking about a TV show that you'll enjoy hearing them talk about, Roseanne.
Yep.
Getting ready for the reboot coming out.
That's it.
Yes, thanks very much for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Obama was 47 years and 169 days old when he assumed office.
169. Nice.
Oh, no.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.